I was at a point where I was able to see all my lives. I felt like I was in a space outside of time where I can go look in multiple directions and see different lives playing out. And the overall theme that I learned from all of the lives is that that karma or that trauma follows you into your next life. And you have to break that karmic debt or that whatever it was that had you perish in that last lifetime. It manifests in this current lifetime in different ways. So it's kind of like the universe nudging you, like saying like, hey, fix this. You didn't fix it in this lifetime. So guess what? It follows you in your next one.
You've got a new book coming out. And I remember when we were on the podcast, when you were on the podcast first time with Bruno, you know, it was just a brewing and now it's done. And as someone who's done a book myself, I know how much fucking effort goes into a book, man. It's a lot more than people think. And I want to hear more about how you came to the conclusion this is what you want to write about, because I know there's so many things that you have expertise on. And what that process was like for you.
Well, and thank you for your help with just the inspiration for it, because I really want to just throw that out there. Nick is the reason I wrote a book. I saw he wrote a book and I was like, I have so many notes that I can include on a book. And it's just a matter of finding what it was. And I think that Walter Russell experience is what sparked it as well. And guess what? That Shenandoah, what was it? Swannanoa. It's up there in the mountains. And there's a very powerful energy that is there within those mountains, which you're along the lines of. And I notice every time that I go into the mountains, I always come back with a form of a download, a revelational thought, where it's an idea. And it's like, oh, I should do this. So on my way back from there, I was just driving, and you know, that's my way of getting into that flow state. Driving is my form of meditation. And with people, they think, oh, you got to be in a lotus position and meditating. No, it's whatever gets you in a form of flow state. And that drive back from Swannanoa was when I started just thinking of, let me just talk about how do I receive downloads? Being in the mountains, meditation, just doing stuff that connects me to my inner self or my higher self. How can I get the world to see that they can do the same thing? And it doesn't take just, I mean, don't get me wrong, psychedelics is one thing that gives me some downloads as well. But the major lesson I learned was you don't need psychedelics. All you have to do is go into yourself. And the reoccurring theme I heard when we were at the Walter Russell experience was the inner knowledge, the inner genius, the cosmic consciousness, that inner genius that lies within all of us that we all can tap into. And it's a matter of how we tap into it. And it's just getting into flow. That's it. That's how you tap into that inner genius. So that was really the inspiration for the book. It's just, for those of you who don't know, How to Listen to the Universe, Ether Downloads will be available November 11th.
It'll be out by the time this podcast comes out.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting because I wanted to release it during September, but it just, the editing and all that just wasn't playing out how it was supposed to. And there's a lot of numerology references in the book, and 11 is a very spiritual number, very divine number. And I got a little backstory I haven't shared and I haven't really made a video about yet, but it pertains to number 11 and how I take my job. You know, I'm required to do therapy for what we went through in the summer. So my job requires me to do therapy. But through that, I'm seeing the lessons and why everything and everyone is playing their parts. Because this therapist, she's not just a Western medicine type of therapist where she just focuses on, oh, this is just, you know, this, that, and the other. She did a dream interpretation. So she asked me about one of my dreams and we started off about dreams and now I'm talking about dreams again. And I had a dream. She said that she went on a cruise. We didn't have a session for 2 weeks because she was on a cruise talking about dream interpretation and the water was very rough. And the night before that, our therapy session, I had a dream about being on a cruise ship and it was sinking. And it was sinking and it was pitch black and it was Anastasia and I. And Anastasia went on the lifeboat And then I fell off the lifeboat and I'm floating away from the ship. I'm going further and further away. And she was just like, so what traumatic happened in your life that dealt with water? I was like, well, when I was at the age of 11, I was caught in a rip current and it just took me out to sea far, far from the shore. But I didn't feel a form of panic. I felt safe because I was just going with the flow of the water. I was just letting the flow take me where it was supposed to take me, you know? And as the path of least resistance allowed me to come back, I mean, swimming to the side, I was on my boogie board. So I felt safe and comfortable. And in that dream, I was on a piece of debris on a boat that drifted out the water and took me away from the lifeboat. And then she said, so where was Anastasia? And for those who don't know, Anastasia is my life partner. She was on a lifeboat and she was like, okay, now what? And I thought to myself, she's probably freaking out and thinking like, oh, she's not going to be able to find me. But Anastasia is a life path number 11. And I said, I can promise you she would be on lifeboat number 11, because I didn't know what lifeboat she was on, but I knew that so for some reason she would be on lifeboat number 11. So I was like, I just trust that I'm going to find her on lifeboat 11, and I'm just going to glit the flow of, like, I was starting to get back to the boat, the path of least resistance. And she said, when you think of Anastasia, what comes to mind? I said, intuition. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And 11 is a very intuitive number. So it's very interesting that we had this session and the book is being released on the 11th, and our last session will be our 11th session. And she said that water is very comforting. So that was like a form of comfort zone. That ship represented a transition in your life that's coming to an end. And remember what we talked about in the summertime, there's possibility that my job with the fire department is coming to the end, because I reflected also of how the crew was in all this organized chaos. The crew, while the ship was sinking, handled it like a pro. They were very organized in this organized chaos, guiding everyone to the lifeboats. But I don't know what happened to the crew. Like, I just know that somehow we all ended up on lifeboats and I ended up off. But I saw that ship, and she said that ship represents a form of a transition that you are going through. And I think that this book is where it starts your journey. Like, it might not be the journey, but it's the catalyst to it. You're in your safe zone. And it's, she reflected to childhood traumas, and she just pulled a lot of stuff out that I didn't know. And that's why, like, numerology, dream interpretation, and Taoism is the very important topic. I don't know if too many people can see, but I still wear this necklace to today because it reminds me to continue to go with the flow of life. You know, like that going with the flow of the water in the dream is just going with the flow of the where life takes you, and not to panic. That's what the dream was really a reminder of, to go with the flow of intuition and don't worry about where it leads you. Like, you took the journey where you quit your job, you escaped the matrix, quote unquote, and that is your intuition, where your intuition guides you and it tells you, oh, you know what, I'm gonna give you this little piece of the puzzle and you're gonna fill the rest of it, it's gonna be okay. But you just go with the flow. Like, your ego's probably saying, no, we, your ego's in that panic survival mode. But then when you trust your intuition just guides you and it gives you that little piece of the puzzle. Then the next thing you know, you're making more connections. Now you're going to Egypt. Like, you know, like, bro, did you realize your life would be this way 3 years ago?
I had an idea it would be something similar to this, but I think that's because I did a lot of intentional work around what it is that my vision was and cultivating it. But I'm still kind of blown away with some things that happened, for sure.
No, that's just the you realize everybody is playing their part. Like, it was definitely meant for me to meet you. It was definitely meant for me to you, Bruno, and I to meet, because I see big things coming for all of us. You know, like that's, I still feel that we may have our own projects here and there, but I feel internally there are big things happening in the near future. And it's just, we have to do the work right now to get to that next step. You know, that's all it is. It's just, we're doing the work to get to where we need to be. And I feel very in tune to Bruno, where I'm like, I know he's cooking up something. Like, you know, he's on his grind, and I know you're constantly cooking up stuff, and you're in this mode of just flow. And you're just going with it, you know, like that's, we are made to create. What is energy? It's a form of creation. And I just feel like we are all put on this earth just to create. And that's what you're doing. We're both doing, we're creating this content and just trying to shift the collective of humanity. And I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a couple things for those who don't know, Bruno, we're talking about, he goes by Indigo Bruno online. And we did a 3-person podcast a while ago. We were all together and we really hit it off. And so that's the Bruno we're talking about. And secondly, the way that we're moving through the world seems to be impacting people, because people are definitely drawn to our content. I mean, your stuff has just taken off, man. I'm watching you just absolutely succeed in the online space. And not as though following and viewing is the only measurement of success as an artist, but I think when we're really touching people and they're letting us know, it's kind of a sign that what we're doing is reaching part of what we feel the purpose is, which is, you know, from what you're saying, the purpose is to shift the collective and to help people to understand the nature of reality. So you're doing that at a high level now. I mean, yeah, your Instagram has popped off, and your TikTok has always popped off from the beginning. So, you know, how does that feel, seeing that while you're writing the book? Because I know there was a time period where you were like, I'm just going to do the book. And then you're popping off these little skits, and they're just, they're just taking off, you know?
I remember, like I said, my roots was originally in skits, and I just felt like I wanted to get back to that. And that's why I say, we are all meant to create, because I have experiences from different downloads that I just want to share. And this is just, I feel like I've been gifted the opportunity to share it on this grand stage. And it's great to see that people are, it is very fulfilling to see that people are seeing the message, you know, like, for example, you and Jen did a podcast, she goes by JK Ultra, for those who don't know. You guys did a podcast that pretty much what hit the nail on the head. Like, I was like, what is that missing piece for this? The last skit that I did about the escapism, where you guys talked about how everybody's waiting for this external savior to come save them, you know, whether it's the Galactic Federation or whatever, you know, or if it's Jesus, it's some form of escapism, but it's like we don't have the balance, hence the yin and yang coming into play, where we need balance. Like, we don't need an external savior. We just need to love one another, because what is love is that frequency that, you know, Christ, to get to Christ consciousness, you have to go through the heart. And love is one of those high frequencies that raises your vibration. And I think that is what the world is lacking, you know. What you said yesterday, it's, we're looking for love and we're in lust. Like, mankind is in this form of greed, where we're very conquered. We're like, oh, I want this land. This is my land. This is this. It's like, why? You know, that's lust. That's that greed. So the frequency of the planet, in my opinion, I know it's in that lower vibration, that lower state, but it is rising. And that's through, I don't try to do political content, but I think when I did the one on Israel and Palestine, that was kind of the more dicey one. But I just wanted people to see the bigger picture, that there are two sides that are putting us against each other, and they're lowering our vibration collectively. But when we see through that, that's when we raise our vibration. That's when we see that, oh, these two sides are putting me against. Anastasia was watching a documentary where the guy was like, I think it was about gays in the military. And the line that really hit hard was, I can get a ribbon or medal of honor for killing a man, but I can get kicked out for loving a man. And I get like that is, you know, that's how the mindset was back then. But I look deeper than that. I was like, the world lacks love and they're banning a man from loving another man or just love in general. Like you can't, I don't want to fight against, I don't want to fight for my country. So I get put in jail because I love people so much. So I don't want to kill another man. I don't want to hurt another person. So I go to jail, you know, like that's just that powers of the old age that has that influence upon us. So I think that like you hit that missing piece in the head where it was just like, I know that if someone does one small act of kindness where it overshadows the negativity within this world, you know, like where just one small act of kindness, it's fulfilling. And it doesn't have to be broadcasted. It's just internally fulfilling. Just imagine if the world just does constant acts of kindness towards one another, how the consciousness of humanity will start to raise again. And I feel like that might happen, but it might cause a rebirth, a reset of this planet for that to happen. Like where we talk about all these revelations, this end of the world prophecies, I think Earth might go through a form of a rebirth to get to that new frequency, like the rate, right? Like the phoenix rising from the ashes. That's where the collective of humanity comes about from the death of us, the death of this lust mindset that we are in. I think that the video that you did was great and it hit that on the head where it was just like you're stuck in lust and you're looking for love. And together, I don't think collectively we are in love, we are still in lust as humanity, but it will shift, and that's through messengers like us to continue to share the message. So to answer your question, that was very fulfilling to see that people received that last message, because I felt it here and I wanted other people to feel it too. And it's not about the likes or it blowing up. Like I'm grateful, don't get me wrong, I am truly grateful that I am starting to flourish on social media, but I feel more of an internal reward when I get the messages in private. Like I really appreciated that video. Like it clicked, something clicked within me. Now I think if I can click in one person and that person inspires 10 more people, and then that person inspires 10 more people, and then 100 people to 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people, that's all I want, you know? So that's, I think the fulfilling is to get that message out there. And I want the collective of humanity to shift.
Why?
Because I just feel like that's what my divine purpose is. Like, I feel like we've been placed on this planet to shift the collective. And I think we're fulfilling that. And I think that's the soul being fulfilled. I'm fulfilled that way because I know that we found this is our time. Like the old age, it was not our time. We couldn't share what we were sharing. We've been crucified. Like, you know, like that's, I don't know. I had this real, I went off, I think the other few weeks ago, I was looking at the royals, because I was trying to understand the monarchy. And I was looking at, I think it was, who was it? King Henry, the 8th or the 7th, whatever one. But the one that had a lot of wives. And I know how Anne Boleyn influenced him to kick out the Catholic Church, to kick out that influence of the church, because they were literally persecuting people for religion. Like if you read the Bible out of Latin, they would persecute you. And that's why I know that you and I were once in this planet at a time where that was a norm. So it's like for us to shift out of this zone, and we know it's our time, that it's safe for us now. I think that's why I'm feeling a fulfillment, because I know that there were lives before that we were taken out for trying to share the same message. But now that it is time to share the message, now this time has come and here we are. So I think that's why it's fulfilling, that we're shifting it. I feel it. And slowly but surely, like We'll talk about this on the next segment, but I was about to get into it with my mom in the jab, but that's next segment. You know? So y'all stay tuned for that, because I feel like I'm really biting my tongue.
I know, I can feel it. I can feel it. You want to say some things, but yeah. So what he's talking about is there's going to be a second portion of this podcast that's a more deep dive, you could say, where we go much deeper because of the nature of how things work these days on the platforms. That's what's needed. So yeah, now continuing on with one thing that you said Taoism was important to you. Now, when you were holding that you're wearing right there, is that can you tell me what that is for those that are listening?
This is this is my yin and yang necklace. Funny thing, speaking of Anastasia, her and I kind of we celebrated our anniversary in Cozumel, and I said, my knight, give you a little backstory why Taoism is very, the yin and yang logo in general is very important to us, because it's a sign from the universe. Whenever we see the yin and yang logo, we know if a yin and yang logo pops up, whatever we're doing that night, it's meant for us to do. That's the universe way of saying you're on the right track. So a little further backstory, her and I were at a Drew Hill concert, and this guy, he was wearing a yin and yang hoodie. He cut us off in line, and he was belligerently drunk. And he's just like, I'm sorry. And we were annoyed at first. And then later on that night, he came back to us, and he had little tiny yin and yang logos in his hoodie. And Anastasia was like, look at his hoodie. I'm like, oh wow, it's yin and yang. And he turned around and he said, look, I don't know what's telling me to tell you guys this, but whatever you guys are doing, don't stop doing it. Keep doing what you're doing, because you're on the right track. And I was mind blown, because I was like, holy cow, that's our sign. That's literally our sign telling us what we're doing is right. So that kind of was one of the things with us. Like now, like when we see people who have it on tattoos or just in general, we're like, that's why we're doing something right. So when we went to Mexico, I said, it's our anniversary and we haven't seen a yin and yang yet. Like, so what's up? Right. So we're going, I found this nice dinner, this restaurant, and en route to the restaurant, I came across this necklace. I was like, well, I gotta have this. And I've been wearing it ever since that day. And that was also around the same time that I was finishing up the last chapter of the book, where it, ironically, chapter 11, 11 is a big thing, theme, but it was chapter 11, which is on flowing with the universe and on Taoism. And through that hiatus of writing the book, we went to Gatlinburg, Mexico, Tulum. And there was an interesting story in Mexico that like reinforced the going with the flow, because we were floating down this river where we were water tubing. And we said, today is just going to be one of those days where we make no plans. We just go with the flow, right? So we said, all right, let's just do water tubing. Spur of the moment, let's do it. We did it. And I remember there was this one woman, and we're floating down the river, and this one woman just keeps hitting the side, and she's like, I don't know what's happening. I keep hitting the sides of the water. I'm not just going with the current. And meanwhile, like, we're doing the same thing. So I pick up a stick. I pick up this little tiny stick, and this guy has his arms up in the air, and he's just floating, and he's just like, huh, that's some stick you got there. Just joking, because he knows it's tiny, but I'm just trying to use it to keep me away from the sides. And then I'm like, huh, I'm going to show him. I'm going to get a bigger stick. So I get a bigger stick, and then Anastasia keeps on telling me, she's like, just put the stick down. Like, let's just whatever. Let's just go with the flow. And I look at the guy, like, he's just got his arms up in the air. He's just relaxing, feet kicked up. He's just floating down the river, no care in the world, just going with the flow. And then I realized, like, this stick is my resistance. I'm not going with the flow, like contradicting my own self by this stick. So I dropped the stick and we just go with the flow. It ended up being one of the best days we had down in Gatlinburg, because like I said, no plans. We finished water tubing and we're like, what do you want to do next? I'm like, let's take a nap. I don't care. Like, it was 4th of July, so it's packed. And Anastasia's freaking out. She's like, we need to get down into Gatlinburg and get a spot because it's going to be too crowded. I'm like, I'm just not feeling that. I don't want to do that. I just want to take a nap and listen to my body and what it's trying to tell me to do. So we go back, take a nap. Then we come back into the city. We both experienced a form of yin and yang in ourselves, because there was one point where I was the one who was freaking out about the plan, and there was one point when she was the one who was freaking out. So this was her freaking out. She's like, I just want to see the fireworks. I want to see the fireworks. She's getting anxiety because it's all packed. I'm like, don't worry, we're going to see the fireworks. I'm like, let's just get some pizza. So we get some pizza, and then we go to this thing called the Anarchista, which takes you up the mountain on Gatlinburg scope. You're familiar with it, right?
Because mm-hmm. I've been.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, the Anarchista is like a lift that takes you up, and you get a scenic view of Gatlinburg.
It's so cool.
Ironically, when we were going up that lift, I told Anastasia, I'm like, you're going to get the best view you ever see. They didn't allow anybody on or off, like just the very few people who were in line, because it was a big crowd of people who were waiting to go down to get that view of the fireworks. We just so happened to be one of the lucky few people who got to go up the slope, the ski lift, and the fireworks started as we were going up. It was like, I couldn't have planned anything perfect if I tried, but it was something out of a movie where we're going up this lift, the fireworks are going on in the background. I'm like, oh, wow. Like I said, I told you, you were going to get the best view. But that all happened because we went with the flow. We weren't forcing anything. And I think that's the message I really want to hit home. Like the last chapter of the book really hits home, is just going with the flow of life. When you start resisting, you're going to meet so much, like so many difficult things. When things aren't meant for you, they don't play out, you know? And then you force it. That's your form of resisting. Like you're like, oh, like me with the fire department, I'm grateful for my career in the fire department, but I know that time is like been served, and so to say. So like me, I noticed that all the promotional stuff, I would always fail. And I'm like, I know I'm not an idiot. Like these promotional exams, I wouldn't score so high. It took me a few tries to get into the fire department. So that's a form of resistance, you know, where it's like I overcame the resistance. But it's the fact that I met resistance. When things are meant for you, they just naturally just come together. And that's never been my career in the fire department, where it's just like I did this because I had my son at 21 and I needed a career. But it was like I was forced into that. And I was like, yes, I did what I had to do. But it just never, there were so many hoops and hurdles that I had to overcome to get in. And when I was finally in, I'm like, I'm not feeling this, you know, like every test, I can pass tests with no problem, but it just seemed like stuff related to the fire department test wise just wasn't natural. It didn't come easy to me. So I feel internally like that was my form of resistance. However, I am grateful because of the fire department, because that is where I met the woman who opened my eyes to all of the content that I speak on now, the woman who I referred to at the near-death experience, where she told me if I wasn't in this department, I would have never had that transport where this woman, we brought her back to life. I never had a chance to talk to anybody who's been to the other side up until that point. And she kind of broke me free from my cognitive dissonance, because I feel like I was at a point of that teetering point where there was religion that was indoctrinated into me. And then I was like, I just can't jive with this. It's just more that's just missing. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Why, you know, you're also someone that doesn't necessarily subscribe to one religion. And I think you're also someone that can see truth in religion. So what was the deciding factor for you to not be in a religion, but still to study the nature of these traditions?
It was this woman. Like, and that's that that's why I will give the utmost gratitude to the fire department, because it allowed me to encounter her. She's the reason that I go into the whole reincarnation, all of that, because when she came back from the other side, you know, when someone talks to you and you just feel instantly what they say, like I get tingles when something resonates with me, I'll feel it in the top of my head. Like it's like the hair stands up on the back of my neck and on top of my crown. And I'm like, oh, and it's like I'm being touched. And I say that's being touched by source. But when this woman spoke to me, I felt that. And when the fact that she said, she looked in the blink stare and something inside of me was like, just ask her, what'd she see? What is she?
Because she just had a near-death experience, right?
Just had a near-death experience. And she said, I saw the beginning and end of time. I saw how we are one, connected to the infinite mind. I saw how I felt pure bliss, pure unity, pure consciousness. Okay. So she said, I felt one with the universe and everything that I was trying to escape from. You guys brought me back to that. So all that pain and that suffering, I feel it. And now I don't know, like, I feel like I have a purpose on this earth, on this planet. I don't know what it is, but I was just told my time wasn't my time. And one thing so from there, I had the pleasure, because I was working part-time at a private ambulance company, and I had the pleasure of talking to another person who had a near-death experience, and he described how he was in this pure bliss state of infinite consciousness, and how he was hiking in the woods with his father, and his father, it was one of the best memories he had in his life, where it just felt like an infinite loop and he didn't want to end. And he said his father wasn't talking to him how you and I are talking. It was all telepathic. And that's the reoccurring theme that I see when it comes to people who describe these near-death experiences, and they describe these higher beings, how they communicate telepathically, and they look like a form of something that their mind resonates with, something that their mind's comfortable with seeing. So like this guy's vision of his father. So from there, I just started seeing this reoccurring pattern that these souls don't necessarily get internal suffering, you know, except, and then ironically, a few weeks after that, I had a guy who experienced a form of hell. He said he was reliving one of the most worst moments of his life over and over again. But the lesson that was needed to be taught was how his family was the most important to him. Like, that's what truly mattered. Like, so even though he is reliving one of the worst moments, the lesson that he received from this moment was family is important, and I need to give my little bit of time on this planet to them. And as he came back from his near-death experience, it was his family who was at his hospital side. And that's when it like solidified what he was meant to experience. So I think after interviewing multiple people who had near-death experiences, and I start coming across books like Journey of Souls, I start to see that there is a missing piece that religion is just not fulfilling, you know, like, well, the religion, I'm not going to say religion, the religion that I was taught, you know, like where,
which was what?
I was raised Christian. So okay. It was just you love Jesus, you accept him, you get into heaven. And I'm like, that, there's more to that. There's a lot more to that. So I could be a serial killer and kill, but I accept Jesus. So all these prisoners, they go to heaven. So I was like, okay. And I'd say stuff like that. And then the preacher's just like, you know, you're just going to go to heaven. Just accept Jesus. It was just like, that's it. Just accept Jesus. I'm like, okay. But there's more. I know there's more. Then I started coming across different books. Like I started looking at the Book of Enoch. I started looking into Taoism.
Wait, hold on. I need to hear what does the Book of Enoch have to say?
Well, so the Book of Enoch kind of, you know how I always feel like the, gosh, man, we're getting into this next segment where I'm gonna try to, you know, tiptoe around this before getting into it, but I feel like there's a certain portion that controls religion, and they withhold certain books because there is some truth to them. And I feel like the Roman Empire kind of morphed into them. And now they still have this control and dominion over the world. And they use it through religion, where the message of religion is more so for indoctrination, and it's more for controlling the docile mind. So now that they realize this, they use it and they change things to their narrative. So like books, something like the Book of Enoch or the Book of Daniel, like all these books that explain, okay, well, there were these beings that came to the earth, the watchers that came down and said, you know what? I think she's hot. Let me go ahead and, you know, let's do our thing with her, you know? And so they did, and they created these Nephilim giants. And now we're getting into woo-woo stuff, but like, I don't think that giants are a thing of fairy tales. I think that giants definitely existed. And I feel as if the certain people who control the Smithsonian, I won't name, they hide this evidence, just like they hide these books. They hide the stuff that's in the library out in Alexandria. So they continue to hide. So not to get too far off, but it's just like discovering this stuff is kind of, you start connecting pieces and you start seeing like, okay, so how come all these flood myths kind of sound the same? How come you have giants, you have titans, you have Greek mythology, you have Loki, you have Norse mythology, you have Loki, you have the Norse, you have the Gnostics who believe that Yatabaoth is, or the Demiurge is the one who tricked the world in believing he's God, and that, and Loki essentially did the same thing. So you start, when you start looking into all religions, you start seeing how they're starting to all connect and tell the same story. And then you start seeing their parables and you realize like, oh, it's the ascension of consciousness in a way. Like, yes, they're telling fairy tales in a different, in a unique way, but it's unique.
Yeah.
It's unique how these stories kind of intermingle. Like they all, there's a flood myth in almost all of these stories. And you start hearing about these beings that came down to earth. I'm like, what if I did a video on what if God was an alien, so to say, because if you think about it, you see flying Vermanas. I mean, you look into the Vermanas and you start seeing how those were possibly vessels or vehicles, how the gods flew around. These people could have just been seeing aliens, you know, or interdimensional beings, light beings, so to say. Or you ever have a psychedelic trip and you encounter these same beings, these, you're like, oh, okay, so they're operating on a different frequency that our planet is just not on anymore. But going back to Taoism, I was watching this documentary on Planet Earth, actually, on Netflix, and it just was showing the yin and yang of life and the cycle of how our planet has reset itself so many times. When we reach a peak, we end up resetting. Like, so you go through the reptilian period, the dinosaur period, and then now it's us mammals, but I feel like we're on the verge of that. We can possibly reset ourselves, but it's up to us and our free will, because we have the power. I mean, think about the nuclear weapons, the arsenal that we have that can lead to our own demise. But back then it was world cataclysmic events. Now it's like God or the man is just like, you know what? I'm gonna give you guys free will. You guys can hang yourself or you guys can function on your own, but you guys are going to be the ones who reset yourself. And it's up to us to, I feel like it's up to us to kind of not prevent that, but just let whatever happens, go with the flow. You know, like if we are meant to be reset, we're meant to be reset. Or if our vibration is supposed to be raised to where we avoid a form of a reset, whatever happened is meant to happen. But either way, there's going to be a form of a rebirth of this planet. But gosh, I feel like I've gotten so far off on the religion thing of how, you know, like I just see how I just didn't accept the whole follow Jesus and you'll get into heaven. Because my mom actually asked me recently. So I was like, do you accept Jesus Christ? I'm like, I accept the message of what Christ was teaching, you know, about love. I wholeheartedly believe that. But do I believe I need Christ to get into heaven? After interviewing so many people who have near-death experiences, and even in the comments, you'll see people, one girl was like, that's just your imagination. Like, you like, just completely disregarding what I said about how, you know, imagine meeting your maker or meeting some higher being and telling you that religion is essentially a man-made concept to get you to understand God in a way that your human mind can, but you don't need religion to get to God. You can get through it internally. And that
there's many paths.
Yeah, there's so many paths. And that's, I think that's what people still have, that cognitive dissonance where they're still attached to it. But we're supposed to detach from these. Like, we're supposed to detach from our identities, like our race, our religion, our gender. Like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, especially when you're in these higher planes. Like, none of this stuff that we hold on to matters. And that's why I say, like, you look at what's going on in the Middle East. They use religion to manipulate these people into genocide, you know, like having people strongly believe that this land is mine. What is that? That is lust. That is not love. Because if you love one another, you're not going to sit there and accept the fact that I am killing thousands of people over the justification that this land belongs to me. So they use religion to manipulate these people. And religion, I have no problem with religion. I love learning about religion because I see how they all connect. But I see how it's also a weapon, and how people who are still caught in this indoctrination are the reason that our planet is stuck into this lower frequency, because we're still attaching to an identity. Like, you got the people are like, oh, I'm black, and they hold on to this. I'm black and I'm proud. Or you got the people who are like, I'm a proud Jew, or I'm a proud Muslim. It's none of that. It's good to, like, accept your heritage and whatnot, but don't let that be your identity. Like, that shouldn't be your identity. Like, if you ask me who I am Marco. I am me. That's it. I'm internally fulfilled to just say, I am me. I'm not this firefighter. I'm not this social media guru. I'm not this whatever. I'm just me. I'm just happy to be here to live life.
So do you think that it's better to have religion or have no religion if you had to choose? If there was either religion or no religion, what's the better path? Or what's the path you'd like? I don't know how to word that.
I'm going through this thing with my kids. It's funny you said that, because I just did a skit with them. I don't like putting, I just realized my son's been watching my skits and he wanted to be a part of it. And I was like, all right, I'll include you in one of them. But when it comes to them, I kind of lean along the lines of, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't force them to drink it. So I will never impose my thoughts of what I've learned over the years when it comes to religion onto them. Like, their mom, her and I are night and day. Like, their mom is one of the people who's like, you're going to go to church, you're going to do this, and you're going to learn from there. I think, honestly, like, you don't need religion. Like, just be a good human, you know? Like, just be, love one another. Just that's it. Like, you don't need religion to tell you to, like, love someone. Just be you. And I see that my son's watching my videos, and it's like, I feel like the fact that he's 11 years old and he's low-key taking interest in my videos, that's him making his own decision. And that's what I want people to do. I don't want them to have that choice. It's good, like, you could be educated on religion, don't get me wrong. Like, you want to go off, like, I admire anyone who goes off and studies more into theology because they want to learn more, but I don't think you necessarily need it, you know? Like, that is, it's something that is manipulated for us. And
So would you consider Taoism a religion?
No, it's not a religion. I mean, there are sanctions set, some portions of it, they branched off into a form of religion, but I just believe it's a philosophy, you know? Like, it's more of a...
Okay. So what's the difference?
Like, between religion and philosophy, like...
Yeah, like, what do you consider to be religion when you're talking about it, so I can understand.
Worshiping a pantheon or whatnot, you know, like, okay, this is my God. I worship him. I bow down to him. Hallelujah. Praise him. That's religion. Like, I'm worshiping this person. But who was the Egyptian king? I mean, technically, Akhenaten, he made the religion. I can't think of it, but just sun worship. Like, any form of worship is a religion. Like, so if you don't worship anything, and that's not religion. Like, I don't worship the yin and yang logo. I wear it because it means a lot to me. And I think that's the difference. Like, some people wear the cross because it's their religion. It's Jesus. It reminds, he died for our sins. But you ask me why I wear this, it has more sentimental value. Like, if I lose this, I'd feel like I'd be lost. Like, that's how much sentimental value. Like, it would ruin my day. Because this means so much to me because of everything that I said earlier. So, like, you have people that they'll lose a cross that's very expensive and they'll be pissed off because of the monumental value of it. But I mean, maybe, and I can't just generalize, because some people could be gifted a cross from their loved one, and you know, it means something to that extent. But I think, like, if you're wearing something or you're worshiping something because it's religious and it means something to you because you're associating with that identity, that's the difference. Like, I will never worship this. It means a lot to me because of what it represents. So, but I'm not bowing down to the yin and yang logo. And I think that's the difference.
Okay, so very interesting. And I still want to know the answer to the question. If you had to choose between religion or no religion or philosophy, which would you choose? God. Like, atheism or religion?
This is actually a hard question, because it's like, I feel like you need a balance of both, you know, like, where I'm not saying I'm atheist and I'm not saying I'm religious, you know? So I believe that.
My man does not want to.
It's really difficult, because, like I said, I don't raise my kids and I teach them religion. That's their mom's going to teach them religion. Like, she's going to teach them religion, but then they get me, where I'm just very open to learning all possibilities, and I don't close my mind. If you're going to learn religion, learn all of them. If you're going to be religious, don't just branch yourself off to just one. And I'd say, that's my stance on that. Like, try to learn as much as you can about every single one of them. Like, you know, it's a lot. Because just look at Christianity in itself. How many how many branches you have of that, you know? So I don't know, man. Like, it's a balance. Like, I'm not atheist, but I know there's source. I know there's a divine mind. But I don't think it's the way that some religions explain it. Like, and then again, you look at these different versions, like, you look at the King James Bible, all these Bibles were manipulated for different reasons. So it's just like, if you're going to be religious, learn about it, but go back, like, before it was translated and changed for manipulation, you know? Because I feel like there you will find the true message. But I can't say I personally enjoy learning about religion, but I'm not religious. So that's why this question is hard for me to answer, because I'm not religious anymore, but I enjoy learning about them. You know, I believe everything is one. We are all energy. We're all connected. And if that's religious, then I guess that's my extent on religion, you know? Like, I believe everything we're all connected to the trees, these bugs, there's an omnipresence in all of us, and we're all connected to that. So if I'm religious, then I guess that is, I can't think of the name, because the old, old tribe, I think that's how humanity started off, believing in that. Where you look at natives and how they look at their spirituality, they essentially worship the planet in a way, where and that's in a form of religion. You know, if you worship something, then it is a form of religion, but they are grateful what Mother Earth provides us. You know, it provides us with the trees, which gives us oxygen. It provides us with the sun, which feeds the trees, which helps us obtain food. So it's just like, if I'm going to be religious, I would say that I just worship life, you know?
Very interesting. So there's a quote by Russell Brand that said, we're a species that worship, and if you don't worship a god, then you worship yourself. What are your thoughts on that quote?
You don't worship a god, you worship yourself.
I mean, because I think you everybody worships something, whether or not they realize it, or they worship materiality. I may have scuffed it a little bit, but it's very close to that.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. If you view yourself in a form of the divine, like an extension of the divine, then yeah, you worship yourself. You are still worshiping a form of a god because you're still connected to source in a way. So if you worship yourself, you're worshiping something, you know, like that is if whether you want to. Like, there's a difference between people who are just like, I am God. Like, then I feel like that's where ego comes into play and just like, I am God. I'm just God. Like, you see it a lot on social media where people just like, I'm God. But they don't really dive into the part about how are you God? Like, if I'm going to say that I am God, I'd say that I am an extension of God. Like, I am part of the divine source. I'm connected. We are all part of it. I see the God in you. I see a God in everyone else. It's not just me. I am God. I see everyone as an extension of God. And I think that's the difference where if I'm going to be religious, I see the divine energy within everybody, no matter the bad that you do. Because I don't think that people who do bad, like, I think that's part of the flesh. It's not the soul. Like, you when you get caught up in these low, when you come down here, what are we? Carbon being 666. When they say that's the mark of the beast, I look at that as we are carbon at down here when light becomes matter, you know? So when we are in this material form, we give in to the fleshly urges. Like, think about it. You eating. When you're in a spirit world, like when you're etherically traveling, you don't care about food. You don't care about any of that other stuff. But when you're back in this vessel, that's when you have the need to breed. You have the need to feed. You get into Maslow's hierarchy of needs where all that stuff matters. But it doesn't matter in a spiritual realm. So I think that even the bad in this world is because people are operating in these lower frequencies, these lower chakras. And they're serving the flesh, not the soul. That's another message that I always preach in a lot of my videos is just serve.
Ooh, you're a preacher now. Look at you. No religion, but he's a preacher.
I'm not religious, but I just harp on serving the soul, not the flesh, because when you serve your flesh, that is when we get caught up in the lust. And that is where the world is. We're full of beings who are serving the flesh. So, yes, I worship myself in a way of I know that I'm an extension of the divine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving a little bit back to the would you choose religion or no religion question, I'm not going to ask you again. I'm just going to comment because I feel like this is how I would. So if you were to ask me, would you rather be in a religion or choose a religious viewpoint or atheism? I would say religious all day. And the reason why is because when you look at atheism, they're still worshiping, but they usually end up worshiping themselves in a narcissistic way, or they end up worshiping the thing that provides for them, which is usually some form of structure, some sort of hierarchical structure, whether that [S2] Right. [S1] Be an institution or a state or a government. And so when you take out any form of higher intelligence, it seems as though humans tend to move into more of a perspective of I'm still going to worship something that I feel is higher than me that will let me relax while I get taken care of. And what we find out is that if we don't genuinely connect to that higher intelligence through our own means, through our own by going within, then we end up in a state where we're waiting to be provided for by a false god. And that's when I look at scriptures that talk about false idols, I think that's it. And that's, I think, one thing they did well in the Bible is talk about the Most High to a certain respect. I think it used to be much more than it was before the Council of Nicaea and things like this, which put the focus more on Jesus than it was the Most High. So if you were to ask me what are the most accurate religions, I would say, if you consider Buddhism a religion, I don't really consider it. I don't think Buddhism, Taoism are religions. I think they're more paths to self-realization. If you consider Hinduism a religion, I would say it's the most accurate. If you don't, then I would say Islam is the most accurate, because Islam is the one that talks about the Most High, the uncomprehensible. Right. And if there's anything that you're going to worship, it should be the highest level of that, in my opinion.
You know what's interesting? I would agree with you about Islam, because I also saw how Napoleon, when he was banished to one of the islands, he started learning about Islam, and he came to the conclusion that that is one of the most accurate religions because of what you just said. It worships the Most High. And Gnosticism does the same thing, where it like takes out it feels like the God that is in the Old Testament, so to say, is an evil God. It looks at him as Loki, for example, where it's like he's the trickster. He's tricking the world into believing that he is the Most High. But Gnosticism worships the divine pleroma, and it shows that there's animations of God that are extended. Like, you got the Barbalo, and then you have Jesus, who was sent from the Most High to show people how to escape this materialistic prison that we are in. I mean, we're still supposed to enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I love being here. I love living life. I love knowing that I have purpose. But I'm not. It's the balance that you said, where we know that we can't just say, oh, dude, I just want to escape and just go to heaven or do whatever. No, I want to live life on earth and enjoy my life here and know that I accomplished what I am supposed to on here and then go on. But we mentioned in the video earlier, or you guys mentioned in the video earlier, you just can't be waiting for this savior or this escapism mindset. You have to be in the moment now. And that is what life is about. And that's what I learned from these people who have these near-death experiences, how they come back and live life with a purpose. They see that most important part about life is living it. Like, go outside and chop wood, do the hard things that are required. Just live life. Appreciate the loved ones who are there, and you'll be fine. You know, like, you don't need money. It's funny. I'm looking out because love is very powerful. It's a very powerful energy. And you see people who have a lot of money. They're not necessarily happy. Like, I saw a few months ago, I saw the happiest family living in an RV across the lot from me. They were in this like one bedroom in a bunk RV, and they had like five kids. And most people will look at them and just judge them, like, oh my gosh, like, this is what the heck, like, why you got all them kids? But you know what I felt from them? Anastasia was the one who was always here. When she was here, she just look at them and admire them, because they had love, and you felt that love. It didn't matter. When you love someone, you could be in a tent, you know, like, and you just
I have been.
Yeah, like, when you when you love someone, you could be in a tent and you just make whatever happens happen, but you appreciate your time with them and you're happy. And I think we're all lucky if we get to experience a love like that, where you see someone who's been with someone for like 60 plus years. I've seen people who lost the love of their life and they end up dying not too much longer after that, because they feel like they lost their will to live. And that is the key of life, is just to love and have purpose, you know, and you have that, you will have a happy life. And that's what I've learned from these people who have these near-death experiences. It's not about escaping and going on to this divine realm. It's about being present in the moment and loving the people who are in that moment with you, playing their part.
Woo! That's it. That's it right there. I feel like we could continue on this conversation for a good 3 more hours.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I don't even know how much, because the time seems like it resets. It's going back down to 11, and so I don't know.
We're about an hour in right now, so there's so many things that we could talk about right now. I feel like we hit hard on religion and Taoism on this one state, which is good. I like those topics.
Yeah, because, I mean, we really didn't touch on reincarnation, but I know that you feel it. You and I were both reincarnated and did something. I don't know together, but you had different lives on this planet. So we know that. Like
I'm one that's, it's so hard for me to be certain about things. And I also know that there's a certain amount of arrogance that people have when they're like, yeah, I've done this shit before, bitch. All these low level scrubs playing this game. I don't want to be like that. So I'm at a place where I don't know. I was supposed to, there's a guy on the podcast, Joey, that I was supposed to do a past life regression with. So I'm going to do that sometime within the next month. And then I'll probably talk about, you know, what that is. So I feel like I have, and I know that there's people that are going to do this much quicker than me. There's people that are like 18 that are already on this. So I don't feel like I'm super special, but I feel like I've been to the point where I see the nuance of the society of the blue pill. Of people just continually numbing and that whole structure. And maybe that could be a past life thing. Maybe, I don't know. But I think you're right. We didn't hit on reincarnation, and reincarnation is the thing that really kind of got me into this. One of the things that got me into this field is I wanted to know what happens after we leave the body. So now I got to ask you, I really got to know, dude, because... it's something I really want to hear about from you, which is just very simply the question of when we leave the body, out of all your metaphysical studies that are outside of religious paradigms, what happens when we leave the body?
Very intricate question. And from my own experience and talking to others, I know that there is a form of a review, where you essentially learn a lesson, or you reflect on, hey, you lived your life of this. Now let's go back and do this. Like you still didn't get it right. Like you are, there's something that you still have to learn, but you're just not getting it. And I think that from the people that I've interviewed, I think that you do go on somewhere else once you master whatever it is you're supposed to master here. And from my own experience with my own past life regression, the overall theme that I've learned that when I come back, it's because I get into it a little bit more in the book. I don't like one of the topics. It's remember how I said, when you feel something here, you just feel like that happened. So like I was at a point where I was able to see all my lives. I was able to stand in one point and just, I felt like I was in a space outside of time where I can go look in multiple directions and see different lives playing out. And the overall theme that I learned from all of the lives is that karma or that trauma follows you into your next life. And you have to break that karmic debt or that whatever it was that you were, that had you perish in that last lifetime, it manifests in this current lifetime in different ways. So it's kind of like the universe nudging you, like saying like, hey, fix this. You didn't fix it in this lifetime, so guess what? It follows you in your next one. So like, let's just say hypothetically, like you had a brother who killed you in this lifetime, and they come back as your son, and you just feel this resentment for them, and you're just like, I don't know where this resentment's coming from, but I just, there's something to it, like why? And then next thing you know, you realize that this brother killed you over money, so now like money is a trauma or a trigger in this lifetime for you, and you just can't get this, you don't know why this is so bothersome for you. And then you finally get to the root of it and you see like, oh, I have to fix my trauma with my brother from a past life and then accept the money situation. And it's funny how when you fix those debts or those triggers, your money situation starts to flow better. Your relationship with that person becomes better. And that's just like one example of how certain stuff manifests into the next lifetime. So it's just like, yes, after you die, there, especially being a firefighter, being around death almost all the time and having the pleasure to talk to people who came back, I know that there's a form of a review. And when it is your time, it is your time. If it is not your time, you will come back. And then you will share, like most people who came back, they share their experience of, my review was I met family members who I knew in this lifetime, or I was with people of my soul tribe, or those relatives, and they talked to me, but they didn't talk to me how you and I talk. It was just very telepathic. It was here. You felt it here and here when they'd speak. And a lot of them will tell you, if it's your time, it's your time. So overall, I noticed that when you die, you meet people who you see, like they could be past relatives, and they say, hey, it's not your time. Come here, go, let's review this. Let's focus on what you need to improve on in this lifetime, where you can be better, and then go live your life. Like, that's it. Like, that's from what I've gathered. Like, there is a form of reincarnation, and then there's a form of awareness of, you know, that you have to improve on certain aspects of your life. Like, if you really meditate hard on yourself right now, like, and just think, if I were to ask you, like, what would be some aspects of your life you can improve on, in your honest opinion? It may not come to you right away, but if you harp on it long enough, your higher self will start to talk through you and say, this is what we can improve on.
I already know.
You know? Yeah. Like, so that, and that good. That's self-awareness. It's like, I think when people die, they come back with a better form of self-awareness, like literal, like you went internal to find yourself and you found it. And it's like, ah, like, or they talk about this ego death that people experience with psychedelics, so to say. I don't necessarily think you need your ego to be gone, because your ego is your amigo, is your cheerleader in an aspect. But remember, the yin and yang is about the balance. Like, you have to balance your ego and your intuition. Your intuition flows with your higher self, and your ego is your lowest self in a way. But you need them both. They're adversaries, you know? And people who come back with this form of a ego death, they come back with their ego in check, but their intuition is like here, where it's the one that's kind of ruling them at that point, where they're like, you know what? Screw this $1 million house. None of this matters. Screw religion. Screw this. I want to go, like, live. I want to hang out with my family. Like, that's what I've seen. Like, that it's beautiful to see it play out, where people just come back. And they, like, my uncle had a near-death experience, and I didn't really talk to him about it, but he was very ego-driven. He used to model. He used to play. Who did he play for? I think he played in like Canada football, but he was very like egotistical. Love him to death. But you see that he came back after his heart attack. He just doesn't care. He's accepted whatever happens, happens. When it's his time, it's his time. He's like, I no longer care about this, that. I just, when it's my time, it's my time, but I'm going to live this life and I'm going to love everyone in the process. It's a very common theme where people, this love, where people just come back and they just want to love the people who are with them, because they see how life is short. Life is, you know, you've been to that other side. I feel like you taste that cosmic consciousness, that cosmic nectar, and you come back with it and you're just like, all right, let's do this. We're here again. I've been here before, and now I want to do this right. Like, but it's like, you don't have to die to experience that. Let me rephrase that. You don't have to die and go through another life to experience that. You died within this life and you realize your lesson that needs to be learned. And now maybe you go on to the next octave, getting into like law of one, where you go on to the next densities or whatnot, because you learn what you need to learn. You know, we don't want to get too much into law of one, because that's a whole 3-hour conversation in itself right there too.
Yeah, we're already 15 over what I thought we would go for the first half, but yeah, real quick, we'll wrap it up here for this first portion. And when you were saying, what are the things you need to work on, meditate, I think just on a personal note, it's consistency for me. You know, like today will end up being about a 12-hour day of just everything that I have to do. To I'm launching the Jordan Crowder podcast, which will come out today. It'll have been out by the time this podcast comes out, and all the work that's to do with that, all the meetings, the clients and everything. And for me, it's about just recognizing that I'm in the phase of my life where I need to do the difficult things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to take me out of flow state. And for me, that's how can I do both? Because I don't want to hate my life or like live from a place of like, oh, this sucks. But how can I enjoy this season where it's just that time for me? And it's not always going to be like that. You know, there's going to be a time where I hire on people to help me with certain things. But at this moment, you know, as a one-man band, we've got a lot on the plate. And so for me, it's just staying consistent and seeing that it all pays off and it all is paying off. And I'm actually pushing myself like this is my potential. Like if I really wanted to see what I was capable of, this is the season I'm going to find out. And I am finding out. And so, yeah, that's what just came up for me when you said that. But yeah,
I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Like I feel it here. Like consistency. That's, I can be more consistent with meditating as well. Like and doing the work. Like that is where I fall short too. Like where it's like, I just want everything to be easy, but it's not gonna be easy. You gotta do the work to get there, to make it easy for yourself. Where eventually I can hire people to cook for me. I can hire people to edit for me, but we are one man bands right now. This is the ground. We are building our foundation. This is our foundation, and we just got to keep building upon it. And that's dirty work. Think about it. The foundation's in the ground. It's some grunt work that has to go on right now.
You say hire someone to cook for you. I hired someone. I bought myself a air fryer, and I just put everything in there. Every meal is the same, bro. It's a combination air fryer that is steaming and air frying. So every meal is the same: sweet potatoes, ground beef, and cheese. And I just every day, it's easy, and it's just like this is just where I'm at in my life. Yeah. You know, what's that?
Is it a ninja? Because I think it's like the combination air fryer, and it like does everything for you.
It's a ninja speedy.
Yep, I got the same thing. Look at that.
Sponsor.
It was a gift from my mom. It was a gift from my mom, actually. She was like, I know you're going to be in this RV, and it's great for our living conditions right now. It's just like, this is so simple. You just, like, you cook salmon, rice, and broccoli all in the same, like, thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
All right, so Ninja, go ahead and sponsor me at this point.
All right. We got two people using your product, so it's great. This is not sponsored by Ninja yet, but, you know... your product is great.
I did the same thing with Siete Chips at the beginning of the podcast. I used to have them a lot on the in-person ones, and I'm like, sponsor me, please. But yeah, so last question. If you know, we've talked a lot about how this game is, the universe is a game, and I've heard you talk about your feelings on that. We haven't really got into that specific one on this podcast, but I wanted to ask you, if you ended up exiting the simulation right after this podcast and you realized this is the last time you were going to be able to talk to anyone, and you wanted to leave a message for humanity, what would that message be at this moment?
Oh, wow. I feel like, no, my message for humanity is always to love one another, but that's too cliche. It's just like, once you realize... I want humanity to realize that they are in control of their, connect to your higher self. Like think of you playing this video game, and we're playing this video game, and we're making this video game's character their lives better. Like, if for my Grand Theft Auto players out there, like, think about how we would go about making this character's life amazing. He's getting all this money, he's doing all these cool stuff, but you as the controller, you're the one who's doing this for him. But we are in this simulation, and we could do this for ourselves if we just reach back and talk to the person who is controlling us. And that person that is controlling us is our higher self. And you want to connect to your higher self, start going inside yourself, meditate, do whatever gets you into that flow state to connect you to that higher self, so you can maneuver through this realm how you want to. And that's it.
And there it is. Boom. All right, great. That's a phenomenal place to leave it for that first half. So now we'll jump into the second half, and we'll just kind of...
All right, if you want to check out the exclusive second portion of this podcast, go check out the link in the description to the Patreon, and you'll get instant access to it, where we go much, much deeper than we can go here. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe. Stick around. I think you'll like many more episodes we have just like this. And we'll see you in the next one. And until then, peace.